Good morning, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and call to order the Senate Committee on Judiciary. So, colleagues, what we're going to do is go through the agenda that we have right now. We have a number of bills that are scheduled that have been carried over or will continue to be carried over for multiple reasons. Instead of having everyone wait and see what it is, I want to go through that so people understand what we are going to be able to do today versus what we won't. I also want to let everyone know, because we have so many that we, at this point, do not have a lot of the paperwork, my plan at this point is we're scheduled to go from 8 to 10. We will more than likely be recessing after we get through this first set of stuff, and we will recess, I'm thinking, right now, like 9:30. And then if we have more paperwork that's come in within that period of time, we'll come back and take the last 30 minutes and deal with the work that we have so we won't be jammed up for tomorrow. So with that, if everyone please bear with me, this is what we have right now as the status on bills. Senate Bill 68 is not moving forward, meaning it's dead, it will not go forward. Senate Bill 180 is also dead and will not go forward. Senate Bill 622 with the dash twos, and I didn't write down, was that ready?
That's ready, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so that one we will be working 622 with the dash twos. The 696 is being rolled over. My understanding, there have been, someone has told me there's a couple amendments that are being worked on. I don't know if I know what those are, because I'm not sure they're coming from me. Senator Cruz, you may know something about those.
Yeah. There may actually be a whole nother bill being drafted, and that would go to the Rules Committee.
Maybe. Oh, a new bill going through.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and I think all the parties are working on that. So.
Well,
all I can tell you is I had a lobby person come in and ask me if I knew anything about this. I told him I knew nothing about it, and he was going to run around to find out because no one knew what was happening. So
okay.
696 is being rolled over until tomorrow at this point, until we figure out what's happening on that so we don't lose it. Senate Bill 713, we will be having a hearing on it. On the work session bills, Senate Bill 30 is carryover at this point. Senate Bill 40-7 is ready. Senate Bill 69 will be not moving forward at this point. I will tell you that 69 is the bill that had the DUII intensive courtroom. Kind of like one of the drug courts. That bill, if it's going to, let's say, the merits of the bill, will be moved into a bill that would be coming out of the Public Safety Commission.
Okay, so this bill is dead.
So 69, we're not moving forward.
Okay.
Senate Bill 70 will be carried over. Senate Bill 71 is not moving forward. It's dead. And since I have two of my favorite colleagues here in uniform, what's happening on that, we had the bill that passed on the House side yesterday. I forget the number. It's the Hoffman bill. That bill will be coming to us. We will already have talked about making changes to it. We will incorporate some of the stuff that was in 71 into that bill,
yeah.
But we'll be using one bill, one vehicle, one drone to get through. All right. Now, with that, we're going on to Senate Bill 92. That's a carryover. Understand Senate Bill 125A with the dash 9 is ready, so we'll be working that. Senate Bill 347 will be carried over. Senate Bill 421 will be carried over. Senate Bill 426 with the dash 1s will be carried over. Senate Bill 673 will be carried over. Senate Bill 694 is...
not ready.
That one's not ready?
It's not ready.
Okay. That one is being carried over. Waiting for paperwork on that one. Senate Bill 699 is carried over. Senate Bill 700 is carried over. Senate Bill 780 with the dash 3 is ready. Senate Bill 796 is carried over. Senate Bill 834 is carried over. Now, all of the ones that we've said are carried over, there is a possibility if we have paperwork come back that we will move those. But I will say the ones that deal with gun legislation will not be done today. They will be done tomorrow.
Do we have the amendment? We had the amendments on two of them. We still don't have the amendments on the other two.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
I have not seen any other amendments come in to my notice, and the two that we have been posted up on OLIS.
Right.
And so those are there on those two bills that we did yesterday. All right. So with that, I hope that gives everyone that's here in the audience some focused direction. And like I said, we will go into recess for some of this other paperwork catches up with us so we can move forward. All right, with that, Bill, I'm going to go ahead and say, let's go ahead and open up probably the public hearing on 7/13, unless you've got something else you want to go first.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 7/13 permits firearms training facilities to in exclusive farm uses. You have the -1 amendments to the bill, which says basically in land not to be high-value farmland is defined by ORS 195-300.
All right, so I'm opening up a public hearing on 7/13. We've had the summary, and it looks like we do have some individuals who'd like to come up to speak. Okay, I'm going to start off with, looks like Greg Pitts, Tom Bowerly, Al Elkins. Why don't you three please come up? Gentlemen, whoever would like to start.
Good morning. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm George Pitts. I'm the chairman of the Oregon Association of Shooting Ranges. We consist of 26 ranges and over 16,000 members across the state of Oregon. The vast majority of Oregon ranges were built within 10 years of World War II. You know, these have all been grandfathered in relative to zoning, and these ranges are thriving. Thriving to the point where many of them are capping membership. The bigger ones have capped, and the others are several of them in the area are looking at it. These ranges are used for training by law enforcement, hunter ed, Boy Scouts, U.S. military, etc., including, most appropriately to recent hearings, required training if necessary for concealed carry. In addition to competitive and recreational shooting, so there's a matter of fact, most of the shooting that happens on our ranges today is pretty serious shooting. Tremendous. Tri-County Gun Club has 3,500 law enforcement officers trained there, and we have 500 Marine reservists trained there and do their qualifications. So, you know, we also have a Boy Scout troop of 80. So we're pretty broad-based. However, we have a range problem in Oregon today. The only zoning where a new range can be built as conforming use today is exclusive forestry. Because of this, it'd be almost impossible to build a new range in most of the state today. We have recently lost a three-year fight in Tillamook County to convert some terrible farmland to forestry in order to build an outdoor range. Surprisingly, there isn't a single pistol or rifle range in all of Tillamook County. Here's a county where my estimation is half the adult male population are deer or elk hunters down there. There's no such place for them to sight in. And the Oregon coast is very similar. You've got to go all the way to Florence to find a range. Per the ATF, U.S. firearms and ammunition sales are an all-time high. And they'll probably stay that way for some time. There are people literally buying firearms today that wouldn't have considered buying a firearm 3, 4, 5 years ago. Some of them don't even want to buy one, but they feel compelled to because they may not be able to at some time. Our problem is that the existing ranges are reaching membership saturation and being capped. Also, there's no such thing as public range. Well, actually, I can think of one. Clackamas Community College has a range that was built with school money. Our problem is existing ranges are reaching saturation and being capped. Once again, talking about my own home range, we have 5,500 members there. And the demand is so great that the last 67 slept in their cars the night before in line to sign up. The demand is just overwhelming. In any case, where do we want these new shooters to shoot? We don't want them shooting in the forest. We don't want them trespassing on farmland. We'd rather they shot in a safe, controlled environment, a range where the environmental controls are monitored and have to be complied with. It seems to me that this is, the argument for this is really excellent. I think the environmentalists would rather we shot on ranges and controlled the lead and recycled it and met the requirements of the Clean Water Act. I think that the farmers would rather that people were shooting on controlled safe ranges instead of sighting in an elk rifle on their country lane, and where they have, like in Tillamook, where they got 100 head of dairy cattle. In any case, we already have a problem with people shooting on public property and trespass shooting. This haphazard shooting is often very unsafe and out of control. I have people, women, I've had two in the last couple of years, say, hey, can we buy a membership in the gun club? Because I don't want my husband shooting up there at this wide spot in the road where everybody's shooting refrigerators and car bodies. Anyway, the Range Association requested this legislation that would permit building firearms training facilities on most resource lands. These ranges would have to meet regulatory, safety, and environmental requirements, unlike trespass shooting, and is supported by law enforcement, Department of Fish and Game, dump stoppers, and many others. This is really a public safety issue. I do have a concern on the amendment, which says basically that we can't put a range on prime land. And taking a quick look at that this morning, I'm going, there's so many definitions there, I wonder if it isn't almost as prohibitive as not being able to build on farmland. So, you know, if it's possible, I'd love to see a little relief there. But this is an important thing, and I reemphasize this is a public safety issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tom or Al, who's going next?
Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Byerly. I am the Secretary of the Oregon Association of Shooting Ranges, and I hold several other volunteer positions in the shooting sports. I want to reiterate what Georgia said about the need for additional places to shoot. We have quarterly meetings with the Oregon Association, and we hear ranges that have absolutely capped their membership from either 500 to 1,000. My own club here in Salem capped its membership at 1,000. We decided just last week that we could try to squeeze in 200 more members because of the demand. And again, the key is to have people shoot in a place where they know where the bullets are going, they're not on public lands, they're not shooting up things that they shouldn't be, even on accident or on purpose, and they have a place where, again, the lead is environmentally managed carefully and mined and taken care of. Again, we just want to have a place where an easier time sighting a new range than we have currently with just exclusive forestry. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Al?
Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. We're a 10,000 member organization, and I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 713. The bill would permit a firearms training facility as a conditional use on exclusive farmland zones. It is the position of the Oregon Hunters Association that placing an outdoor firearms facility in a rural setting away from residential development is a good idea. In 2006, we and the Oregon Hunters Association adopted a firearms legislation policy, and this bill fits in with the portion of that policy that encourages development and continuation of educational programs involving gun safety and legitimate recreation uses of firearms, and we therefore support 713. That concludes my testimony. Be glad to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Any questions? All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. I have a number of other people who would like to testify on this bill. And let me just ask Jared Drummond, are you going to be speaking for or against? I just want to know what.
Against.
Against? Okay. So let me go ahead and ask Rachel Lucas and looks like Dan Reed, but he's
Rachel, come on up. Dan, when you get a chance, go ahead and take care of that, and you can come on up after. And Rachel, I'll just have you start.
Good morning, Chair Pozanski, members of the committee. I'm Rachel Lucas, and I'm the Executive Director of Safer Oregon, which is Crime Victims for Self-Protection, and I'm testifying in favor of Senate Bill SB 713. Currently, as part of this role as the executive director, I'm taking women to learn basic pistol training, and I'm enrolled in a course at Douglas Ridge that has a year waiting list to get in, and that's because of the overcrowding. I'm mostly speaking to the fact that we need more places to shoot that are safe, and as a woman, I don't really feel comfortable going out and shooting anywhere other than an indoor range, and I also would not want to promote that with other women. So. Basically, that's it. You know, there's no place to shoot right now. I've let membership lapse at a shooting range because we never go out in that area anymore. And I'm beholden to friends to take me to shooting ranges as a guest. My own self, I have to go. Fortunately, I'm well connected and I have a lot of friends. But and there is, as you all know, there are many, many people now getting firearms and they don't have anywhere to learn to shoot them. And so. That's basically it. I think we need more places to shoot that are safe, that are environmentally friendly, and that are also reasonably priced. And so that's, I would encourage you to pass 713.
All right, thank you. Questions? Rachel, just curious, you chose, at a sanctioned range that's outdoors, you just don't feel comfortable there?
Well, there's not enough places that are safe for women to go to. That's basically it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So the next panel will be Steve McCoy, Mike Fries, and Gerald Drummond. Dan, I'll get you in the next cycle.
Okay. Perfect.
I don't know what you... Gerald? Mr. Drummond? Yes, sir.
Chair Prozanski, members of the committee, I am Steve McCoy, representing 1,000 Friends of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in opposition to SB 713. Agriculture is the backbone of the economy in rural Oregon. It's the number two economic sector in the state. It is 15% of the state's economy. 1 in 8 jobs in the state is related to agriculture. The current buzzword when you talk about economic development is traded sector. Because traded sector industries bring in new dollars from outside of the state, growing the state's economy. Agriculture is traded sector. 80% of the agricultural products that we produce in the state go outside of state. 40% go overseas, bringing new dollars into Oregon. Agricultural sales have been risen at a relatively stable rate over the years, which is something that no other industry can say. Farmland is the feedstock to farming. There are already over 24 non-farm uses that are permitted, and another 24 that are conditional uses, that are non-farm uses that are allowed on exclusive farm use land. All of these non-farm uses cumulatively take large swaths of farmland out of farm use. If we are to adequately protect Oregon's number two industry, we need to pare this list back, not keep adding to it. This bill adds another non-farm use as a conditional use on exclusive farm use lands. There's an existing process already to cite things in exceptional circumstances. The exceptions process was created for exactly this type of use on farmlands. It requires an alternatives analysis and a justification of the use. This makes sure that the use is necessary and that it is going in the right place to maintain the agricultural economy. The dash ones do make the bill significantly better, and we urge you to adopt them if you're going to move this bill. However, the exceptions process already exists for citing these types of uses and ensures that they will be cited in places that are best for other rural uses. Because it will consume farmlands without consideration of alternatives, SB 713 would cost Oregon farmlands and the jobs that rely on them. We ask you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And Mike, you want to go next?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. My name is Mike Fries. I represent the Oregon Farm Bureau.
Nice tie, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Go Beavs. We oppose Senate Bill 713 as currently written. Our concern, my testimony really reflects what Mr. McCoy had to say. Recently, a study was done among young farmers and ranchers across the country, and their number one issue is the reduction in available farmland and ranch lands to expand or improve their operations. We're in this state finding that that is consistent, and we're working in this next year with the governor's office and the state agencies to review all the exceptions or conditional uses and outright uses on EFU land to see how we can decrease those pressures. And this is just another example of uses that are being put in place that would increase that pressure on our ag communities. So with that said, and we'd be happy to work with the committee on any amendments, to move some of this in more appropriate places or on less prime land, farmland would be appropriate. So with that, I'd take any questions. Thank you.
Gerald, why don't you go ahead and give us your testimony, and then we'll go for questions.
My name is Gerard Drummond.
Gerard, excuse me.
I'm a resident of Clackamas County. Up until 10 years ago, I used to farm in Clackamas County, raising filberts and sheep. I sold the farm, but I still live in my original house. I am in support of what these gentlemen have said. Anything that removes land from exclusive farm use, I'm opposed to. It drives the price of the remaining agricultural land up, helps preclude young farmers from farming because of the price of the land. I'm concerned about the environmental hazards involved with lead in the soil and taken up into plant life. I'm concerned with lead filtering down into the water table. Once a piece of farm ground is converted into a shooting range, in my opinion, it will be forever precluded from being farmed again because of the environmental issues. There are other places to put shooting ranges, not on prime farmland, particularly in the Willamette Valley.
All right, thank you. Questions? Senator Cruz first.
Yeah, probably just a comment, Mr. Chair. First on lead, heavy metals don't translocate. But the other issue, I mean, if you want to explore this, what we really need to explore is what we are defining as EFU. In my part of the world, Southern Oregon, there is a lot of marginal land that's defined as EFU that is not productive ag land. And that's the issue we need to be dealing with, not what has been done as far as exceptional use. I think a lot of that would go away if we had a better definition of what EFU is.
All right, any other questions? All right, thank you very much. If y'all step back, I've got two other people. Senator Boquist, why don't you come up? Dan, why don't you go ahead and come on up? While they're coming up, is there anyone else who will want to give testimony today on Senate Bill 713? Sir, why don't you go ahead and come on up? Come on up. And Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Senator Brian Boquist, District 12, Western Willamette Valley. I also am a farmer, so I'll declare a conflict of interest right off the bat. I own EFU-zoned land, and I can effectively grow blackberries and poison oak on that good, rare prairie soil. So, therefore, I'm not planning a rifle range. Let me just very briefly, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, dispel a slight myth that's out there. We need to find cooperation in land use planning, as the good Senator Cruz pointed out, because that's the way forward. The second thing I would point out, to the United States government and every member sitting in this room is presently paying, let me say again, presently paying payments to farmers in the state of Oregon to put 500,000 acres in the crop reduction program long term. 50,000 of that is in the Willamette Valley. Most of that is either in my region or Senator Cruz's area to the south or Senator Fred Gerard's area. So we're paying for 500,000 acres not to be farmed right now by the federal government. If you care to go over to the Department of Agriculture, Katie Coby will tell you that there's another program that they have which really doubles that number, and then we have another 500,000 that's fallow. So while I'm a very big supporter, obviously in my district, of farmers, the fact of the matter is there's plenty of room for compromise when we're paying with our tax dollars not to plant crops in the Willamette Valley. Thank you, Mr. President. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I'm glad you're not the president, by the way.
That was Peter.
I was like, I hope he's not listening.
Yeah, he'll be here soon. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair, as I said, I'm spending far too much time in Mr. President's office.
All right. Any, let's see. Senator Boquist, can you stay while I take the other testimony? All right, Dan, why don't you go ahead?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dan Reed, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon members of the National Rifle Association in support of Senate Bill 713. The National Rifle Association supports responsible gun ownership and safe shooting activities. Shooting ranges have a long-standing tradition of providing safe opportunities to both train and recreate, and this bill would further those opportunities. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And, sir, since you're not on the registry, if you can give us your name so I can make sure you're on here.
My name is Ed Eaton. I'm from Bay City, Tillamook County.
Ed?
Yes.
All right. Ed, why don't you go ahead and give us, first, put your name on the record and give us your testimony, sir.
The name is Edgar Eaton, Bay City, Oregon. shooting ranges are about public safety, simply put. I don't want my law enforcement to be anything other than the best shots they can possibly be. I don't want collateral damage due to poor marksmanship. I don't want the life of a hostage lost due to poor marksmanship. And I don't want law enforcement life lost due to poor marksmanship. All a matter of public safety. I live next to the state forest. I don't want straight rounds in my neighborhood due to poor marksmanship. When I hunt, I want my fellow hunters to be the best they can be. All a matter of public safety. I want my sons, daughters, neighbors, and those brave enough to protect our country and state to be the best that they can be when defending their lives and ours. And as an Army sniper with three Purple Hearts and a member of the American Sniper Organization, I can tell you that our training in the military is not sufficient in itself. Those who received civilian training and were active shooters early in civilian life excelled beyond those without prior experience. And most important, our youth can only be expected to have the proper respect of firearms and the destruction that they are capable of with proper safety training, training that can only be fulfilled at a firing range and with qualified instructors, not in a classroom or from a video game. Once again, all a matter of public safety and thusly a matter of responsible legislation on your part. By denying... I'm nervous, aren't I?
You're doing good.
By denying our youth proper training, we are denying them the skills they need to survive being in law enforcement and in the military, not to mention the basic rights of self-defense. I truly believe that future lives are in our hands with this legislation, and simply put, I believe that ranges save lives.
All right, thank you. Questions? Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you for your service.
I don't believe there's anyone else who wanted to give testimony today on Senate Bill 713. I'll ask one more time. Not seeing. Why don't you just get on the record?
Because I don't know what to do.
All right. George, you want to come up for a second? I think there's a question for you.
Thank you.
I'll just make a comment when I have a chance.
Chair. George, just briefly, because there's been a lot of environmental concerns brought up, could you tell us what the shooting ranges do specifically to clean up the site and make it environmentally sound?
With the range association, one of the things that we expect of each of the member ranges is that they have an environmental stewardship plan in place. That's a program that basically aims at controlling lead deposition and recycling on the property. This program was put together with the EPA, a gentleman by the name of Ed Gustner, who wrote the the regulations for the EPA regulations for ranges. We had him out here two different times, addressed our group. We have several great consulting groups that help us with this. In any case, where we have it's an economic issue where we reprocess the lead, pull it off when the range has enough to make it economically feasible to do that. We must comply with the Clean Water Act. There are no state regulations specifically addressing environmental issues with shooting ranges. What we have is residential and commercial. The DEQ, who we work very, very closely with, utilizes the EPA regulations. And in any case, we ended up in a couple of battles over environmental issues where we've had to correct what we're doing. And our operation with the ranges basically encourages ranges to stay out of trouble by doing all the environmental requirements ahead of time so that an environmental group or the EPA or DEQ can't find them at fault. And we've been most successful with that. Any other questions along that line?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're really the good guys and being good citizens here, and we understand that we tell our ranges that if you want to fight the environmental requirements, they're going to beat you with your own money, and you're going out of business, and none of us want to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator? Yeah, I just want to make a short comment. You know, we have had ranges because of our growth in our communities in Coos Bay and others where the range all of a sudden, where the police practice became part of the city and they had to disband it. So we've lost ranges, and I think this makes it, our high school used to have its own range on the campus, and actually, only because I'm wearing Oregon State today, two of our members in the 1950s went on to Oregon State and won the national championship in shooting. So I think there are opportunities for us to do some of this stuff. And
memory lane, I love it.
I know.
All right, thank you very much. So we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing on 7:13. And at this point, I guess we're going to start with Senate Bill 622, open up a work session on Senate Bill 622. We already had a public hearing on this, and my understanding is that we got the dash twos.
Chairman, that's correct. They're gotten stopped. They make technical changes to the original bill. Chairman of the committee, we're all ready to go on this bill in the sense that the fiscal is minimal. So we have the paperwork, we have the amendments. This is a bill that relates to who gets to see what as it relates to records in juvenile court.
All right. Let's go ahead and move this, then hang on. I'm not sure which one. So are you ready to move the dash twos? 622.
Trying to pull it on.
It should be towards it. Not sure how you got yours.
May I remember, Mr. Chair, of the committee, the bill comes from the Oregon Law Commission.
Okay.
That's a twos.
Right, Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendment into Senate Bill 622.
Senator Close moves the dash two amendment into Senate Bill 622. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
And Mr. Chair, I move the Senate Bill 622 as amended by the dash twos to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves Senate Bill 622 as amended by the dash twos to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Chair will carry 622.
Thank
to
you.
The floor. I knew it was coming already, so. All right, so dropping down, it appears our next one that we have ready is Senate Bill 40. If I'm correct, I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 40. And Mike?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 40, we're looking at the Dash 7 Amendment. The Dash 7 Amendment makes less than 4 ounces of marijuana a Class B misdemeanor, possession of that, and possession of less than a quarter ounce of what's being defined as marijuana product a B misdemeanor. Anything above those two amounts would be a felony. Of course, less than an ounce of marijuana is still a violation. This also would take out the word dried that modifies the stem, leaves, and flowers of the marijuana definition.
All right. Any
I should just mention one more thing, Mr. Chair. There is a fiscal that's been issued, and it looks like there is substantial savings to the state for this bill to go forward.
I would assume
so. $1.5 million to $3 million over a couple bienniums.
Okay, which brings a question. If it costs money, we got to send it. If it saves money, we don't have to, do we?
No.
No.
Okay. We just figure out how to spend that. Oh, never mind.
We could use with it my for new poor dredging.
With the new title.
Easily, right? Right.
There you go.
Maybe with the new title that Senator Boquist has given me, we can kind of work that out.
Okay.
On that. All right, so the chair will entertain a motion on the dash sevens.
If I may move it, I'll be happy to.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash sevens be adopted into SB 40.
Senator Dingfelder moves the dash sevens into Senate Bill 40. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 40 as amended with the dash sevens to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Dingfelder moves Senate Bill 40 as amended by the dash sevens to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Cruz, do you want to carry this one or do you want?
No, yeah, I'll be fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, Senator Cruz will be the carry on 40. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 40. Our next one I have that's ready at this point is Senate Bill 125A. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 125A.
Chair, members of the committee, this bill comes to you from the Senate Interim Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs for the Oregon State Bar. What this bill basically does is states what current law is requiring agencies to give notice under the Service Members Civil Relief Act. They've agreed to also put other information in there, how the service member can contact different groups for assistance in these areas. You have the A9 amendments in front of you. You may remember during the hearing we had discussions about when the bill should take effect. It had an emergency clause. It was a proposal to remove the emergency clause. And the consensus of what seemed to be the committee at that time was September 1, 2013, and that's what the A9 amendments do.
All righty. So the chair will take a motion on the A9 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash A9 amendment into Senate Bill 125A.
Senator Close moves the A9 amendment into Senate Bill 125. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 125A as amended by the dash A9s to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close now moves Senate Bill 125A as amended by the A9 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Close, do you want to carry this one or do
sure.
You? Okay. All right. Well, close the work session on 125A. And we're dropping down to what I have as our next one that's ready is Senate Bill 780. Open up a work session on 780.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 780, you have the dash 3 amendments in front of you, which changes the bill quite a bit. What this basically, if you look at the amendments, would require a grand jury to either be taped or recorded by a stenographer. If the proceedings convene to examine the use of deadly force by a police officer that results in the death of a person, and basically this would be that the defendant would get the material, in this case the defendant would be the police officer, or the public would get the material, but there would also be the right for the district attorney to seek to have certain parts of the risk record deleted.
Yes.
Blocked out, and it does not
redacted.
Redacted. It also has other limitations as to what information can be
different
received.
Okay.
Doesn't identify who the grand jurors are or the witnesses.
Okay. All right. Chair will entertain a motion for the dash threes for 780.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 3 amendment into Senate Bill 780.
Senator Close moves the dash 3 amendment into Senate Bill 780. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, just a question of staff. So is this a gut and stuff? Did we remove the other parts of the bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, That's the best way the Legislative Council's office found to present the material. What it basically does, at one point it required that this material be put on the internet. That's no longer in there. But it's not a gut and stuff in the sense that you have a bill and you're putting something totally different in there. It's obvious it's related to what we originally started with the bill.
So we're recording, but is that information open to the general public? It is not. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the general the grand juries are not open to the public. They're secret. This material would be available to the public after the trial is completed.
Okay.
So there would not be the situation where you could request the material while the trial was going on. So you would not have a trial in the press of a police officer at the same time you're having a trial in the court.
I also think, for clarification, my understanding is it's just not open to the public. There's still a method or means that the public has to go through to have it released.
Chair, members of the committee, that is correct.
All right. So, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Any objection to the dash threes being adopted? Not hearing or seeing any. They're so ordered into the bill. And Chair will take a motion on the bill as amended.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 780 as amended by the dash three amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Close moves Senate Bill 780 as amended by the dash three amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Roblin.
Yeah, I need to just think about this for a little while. So I will be voting yes, but I may change my vote on the floor.
All right.
Yeah, similar. I just need to think just a little bit, and which is really hard for me as a farmer to actually do, but whatever.
I was shooting on you right
now. Yeah, I know. There. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I will just say, since this is my bill, that what we heard is Multnomah County is already doing this, and it's the only county right now, I recall. So we worked closely to make sure we're consistent with what Multnomah County is doing, although this may even be a little more limiting than what Multnomah County is currently doing. But we talked about making sure that there was access to justice for all counties and all Oregonians, and so part of this is making sure that there is access to the information once the grand jury proceedings have been completed.
Okay. All right. Any objection to the motion that's before us? Not seeing any, so heard. And Senator Dingfelder, you'll be the carrier on 780 as amended by the dash threes.
Thank you.
And now we wait.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go back through. Now, I've got a list that's come to me while we're sitting here that there are possibly four amendments that could be, or paperwork that could be ready. One of those is Senate Bill 68, which I already said was not going to be moving forward. Senate Bill 68 is one that we looked at, and we've looked at before, regarding eliminating the mandatory minimum sentencing for persons under the age of 18 who are convicted of basically a display of a child sexually explicit conduct. The issue there, of course, as we've heard in the hearings, is that if you have one student who takes a picture of themselves, puts it out on the internet, or to a friend, and they put it out on the internet, then you start getting into the point of where they could actually be charged with a Measure 11 offense, mandatory minimum sentencing offense. So more than likely what is going to happen, because that will require a supermajority vote to actually go into effect, it will be, if it's going to be dealt with, will be dealt through the Public Safety Commission, who will be putting together the package or packages that may be considered by the legislature. So that's just to put on the record that even though it's not moving forward in its current form, it may come back up in the other committee. All right, with that, what I'm going to do is go ahead and recess. I think we got everything covered on the record as to what was happening for the bills that we have not taken any action on today. Yep. So what I will just do is a caveat, just because we may not be coming back here, that everything that we have put on the record as to what is being carried over is in fact to be carried over or rolled over, as the term may be, for tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And the other actions that we're taking as to bills not moving forward, which are at this point 68, 180,
71 will not be relisted. We do have a number of bills that are currently set for tomorrow's agenda, which are placeholder bills. What I will be doing is working with staff. We will be cleaning that list up so we can modify and reduce the number so everyone doesn't have to bring a lot of files that we're not planning on working anyway. So with that, I'm going to recess until 9:30. That's about 35, 38 minutes. The chair will come back down, and if we actually have, I'm going to give it to your choice. Do you want us to contact you at your offices, or do you want to just plan on coming back here at 9:30? Members?
I'll be here at 9:30.
All right, so we'll reconvene here at 9:30 and see if we got anything. So at this point, we're recessed until 9:30 this morning. Good morning again. We're coming out of recess, Senate Committee on Judiciary. We recessed waiting for see if we got any paperwork back on the bills that we were wanting to move. It appears at this point we do have paperwork back on two bills, 92 as well as 834. So why don't we go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 92. Mike?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 92, what you have before you is the Dash 2 amendment. This is an amendment that the judge was working on. I know that she, Judge Mari Trevino, had reached out to several groups, OCDLA, ACLU, for their input and help. So I know that was, they were in discussions on that. This bill would make the first offense of threatening a public official an A misdemeanor. And if you have a conviction on your record at the time of the second offense, that would be a C felony. And essentially, this just, the judge really worked hard on making sure that this language was constitutional, because obviously we're dealing with an issue of speech. And, you know, when people say to a public official, oh, I'm going to kill you, the difference between that and actually meaning it and having that be a very serious menacing threat. So she worked really hard on that language. And like I said, enlisted those groups, and that is what the Dash 2 is a product of.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 92.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 92. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 92 as amended by the Dash 2 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz.
And moved. Does it need to be subsequent referral?
No.
Okay.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 92 as amended by the Dash 2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered. What I'm going to do is put Senator Johnson and myself down as carriers. We'll figure out who's going to carry. I'll be back up to say if Senator Johnson's not available to do 92, since we both had judges asked us to work that one through. So we'll close the work session on 92, open up a work session on 834.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 834 increases the penalty for initiating a false report to an A misdemeanor from a C misdemeanor, and it requires the court to assess the cost of responding and investigating to false reports to be paid by the convicted person. There are no amendments on this bill. We got the fiscal back, and it is listed as a minimal expenditure.
All right. No amendments. So, Chair, take a motion on 834.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 834 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Close moves Senate Bill 834 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. We'll list Senator Winters as the carrier. If she can't do it, Chair will do that one as a backup. All right, that's the two, the paperwork we have. Mike, is there anything coming over the magic screen there that tells us we might have something else?
Let me do one last check.
Mr. Chair, while he's checking, I'd like to request unanimous consent to change my vote on Senate Bill 780.
Okay. Senator Close moves for I think we're going to, do we have to reopen? Let's see, we're still.
Have a work session, so you have to open a work session.
Yeah.
Let
me go ahead and open up a work session, a possible work session on Senate Bill 780. Senator Close moves that we reconsider the vote that we passed Senate Bill 780 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Just her vote, though.
Right.
Okay. Not reconsidering.
Well, I'm going to go ahead.
Reese? Okay.
Yeah, because I think you need to do that. I guess we can do it both ways, but
right. Okay.
That's the motion. Any objection to allowing that for it reconsider the vote?
Wait.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. So now we have the
to reopen, and Senator Close, did you want to change your vote?
Yes, I will change from aye to nay on that one.
All right, Senator Close changes from aye to nay. Is there anyone else who would want to change their vote on 780 as amended by the dash threes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to change from aye to nay as well.
All right, Senator Cruz changes to aye to nay. Anyone else want to change aye to nay?
I'm not going to change my vote, but I already made a comment on it.
Yes.
So I'm good.
All right. With that, we'll close the vote.
You had opened the work session.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just making sure based on how the vote came in. We'll go ahead and close the work session. The bill still has a majority, and it will proceed with a 3-2. All right.
Mr. Chair, I don't see any more bills that are ready with the paperwork.
All right, thank you. And we're going to go ahead and close for the day, and we will be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And I would tell those who are following, you should look at the agenda that will be posted later this morning or this afternoon, because there are bills that have been taken off that were scheduled to be on for tomorrow.
Placeholders.
The placeholder bills. And we are, in fact, carrying over everything else that we said we're going to carry over, unless we had indicated that it would be dead.
Right.
All right. Pam, anything else? We're adjourned till tomorrow.